Before I recognize Senator Blunt, I would like the record to show that last night, Admiral Rogers spent almost 2 hours in closed session with the almost the full committee, fulfilling his commitment to us in the hearing that in closed session he would answer the question, and I think it was thoroughly answered, and all members were given an opportunity to ask questions. I just want the record to show that with what Senator Heinrich stated. Senator Blunt.
Thank you, Chairman. Attorney General, it's good to see you here. It's good to see Mary. I know that there are probably rather other places you'd both rather be today, but you've always looked at public service as something you did together, and it's good to see you here together and know that your family continues to be proud and supportive of what you do.
Thank you. I'm blessed indeed.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Let me just get a couple of things clear in my mind here of notes I've taken while people were asking questions and you were talking. On the April 27th, 2016 event, I think that's the Mayflower Hotel speech that the presidential candidate gave on foreign policy, you didn't have a room at that event where you had private meetings, did you?
No, I did not.
And as I understand it, you went to a reception that was attended by how many people?
I think 2 to 3 dozen.
2 to 3 dozen people. You went in, heard a speech, and then may have seen people on your way out.
Correct.
So when you said you possibly had a meeting with Mr. Kislyak, did you mean you possibly met him?
I didn't have any formal meeting with him. I'm confident of that, but I may have had an encounter during the reception. That's the only thing I cannot say with certainty. I did not. That's all I can say.
Well, that's what I thought you were saying, but sometimes when I hear I had a meeting, that would mean more to me than I met somebody.
Right.
You might have met him at the reception. Could you have met other ambassadors at that reception as well?
I could. I remember one in particular that we had a conversation with whose country had an investment in Alabama, and we talked a little length about that. I remember that, but otherwise have no recollection of a discussion with the Russian ambassador.
All right. So you were there. You've read since he was there. You may have seen him, but you had no room where you were having meetings with individuals to have discussions at the Mayflower Hotel that day.
No. That is correct.
Well, whenever you talked to Mr. Comey after he had his meeting with the president, you think that was probably the next day. You didn't stay afterwards and see him after he left the Oval Office that night?
No. I understand his testimony may have suggested that it happened right afterwards, but it was either the next morning, which I think it was, or maybe the morning after that. It was we had a... three times a week national security briefing with the FBI that I undertake. And so it was after that we had that conversation.
We had that conversation. Now, what I'm not quite clear on is, did you respond when he expressed his concern or not?
Yes, I did respond. I think he's incorrect. He indicated, I believe, that he was not totally sure of the exact wording of the meeting, but I do recall my chief of staff was with me, and we recall that I did affirm the longstanding written policies of the Department of Justice concerning communications with the White House. We have to follow those rules, and in the long run, you're much better off if you do. They do not prohibit communications one-on-one by the FBI director with the president, but if that conversation moves into certain areas, it's the duty, the rules apply to the Department of Justice. So it's a duty of the FBI agent to say, Mr. President, I can't talk about that. That's the way that should work, and apparently it did because he says he did not improperly discuss matters with the president.
When Mr. Comey talked to you about that meeting, did he mention Mr. Flynn?
No. He mentioned no facts of any kind. He did not mention to me that he'd been asked to do something he thought was improper. He just said he was uncomfortable, I believe, with it.
after that discussion with Mr. Comey.
Actually, I don't know that he said he was uncomfortable. I think he said maybe it was what he testified to was perhaps the correct wording. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but I don't dispute it.
Well, exactly what I think he's what I remember him saying was that you didn't react at all and kind of shrugged, but you're saying you referred him to the normal way these meetings are supposed to be conducted.
I took it as a concern that he might be asked something that was improper, and I affirmed to him his willingness to say no or not go in an improper way, improper direction.
I just say, finally, I'm assuming you wouldn't talk about this because it would relate to the May 8th meeting, but my sense is that no decision is final until it's carried out. My guess is that there are people at this dais who have said they were going to let somebody go or fire somebody that never did that. So the fact that the president said that on May 8th doesn't mean that the information he got from you on May 9th was not necessary or impactful. And I'm sure you're not going to say how many times the president said we ought to get rid of that person, but I'm sure that's happened. And, Chairman, I'll...
Senator King.
Mr. Attorney General, thank you for joining us today. I respect
thank
your
you.
Willingness to be here.
Thank
you. You testified a few minutes ago, I'm not able to invoke executive privilege. That's up to the president. Has the president invoked executive privilege in the case of your testimony here today?
He has not.
Then what is the basis of your refusal to answer these questions?
Senator Kane, the president has a constitutional...
I understand that, but the president hasn't asserted it.
Well,
you said you don't have the power to assert the power of executive privilege. So what is the legal basis for your refusal to answer these questions?
I am protecting the right of the president to exert it, assert it if he chooses, and there may be other privileges that could apply in this circumstance.
Well, I don't understand how you can have it both ways. The president can't not assert it, and you've testified that only the president can assert it, and yet I just don't understand the legal basis for your refusal to answer.
Well, what we try to do, I think most cabinet officials, others that you questioned recently, officials before the committee, protect the president's right to do so. If it comes to a point where the issue is clear and there's a dispute about it, at some point the president will either assert the privilege or not, or some other privilege would be asserted. But at this point, I believe it's premature for
you're
me
asserting
to
a privilege that the president you've testified.
Deny. It'd be premature for me to deny the president a full and intelligent choice about executive privilege. That's not necessary at this point.
You testified a few minutes ago that, quote, we were asked for our opinion. Who asked for your opinion?
You mean
you testified we were asked for our opinion. You
my understanding is. I believe I'm correct in saying the president has said so.
He didn't ask you directly?
I thought you were asking about the privilege. So
no, I'm sorry.
You want to go back to
I'm saying you said, quote, we were asked for our opinion, you and Mr. Rosenstein.
I believe that was appropriate for me to say that because I think the president.
No, I'm
said,
just asking you.
I'm
where,
just
who
saying
asked
why,
you for your opinion?
Yeah.
Who asked you for
yes,
your opinion?
Yes, right. The president asked for our opinion.
All right, so you just testified as to the content of a communication to
that
the president.
That is correct, but I believe he's already revealed that. I believe I'm correct in saying that. That's why I indicated that when I answered that question. But if he hasn't, and I'm in error,
so you can
I would have constricted his constitutional right of privilege.
So you're
being, correct.
You're being selective about the use.
No, I'm not intentionally. I'm doing so only because I believe he made that.
In any of your discussions with the president
about
the firing of James Comey, did the question of the Russian investigation ever come up?
I cannot answer that because it was a communication by the president, or if any such occurred, it would be a communication that he has not waived.
But he has not asserted the executive privilege.
He has not asserted executive privilege.
Do you believe the Russians interfered with the 2016 elections?
It appears so. The intelligence community seems to be united in that. But I have to tell you, Senator King, I know nothing but what I've read in the paper. I've never received any detailed briefing on how hacking occurred or how information was alleged to have influenced the campaign.
Between the election, there was a memorandum from the intelligence community on October 9th that detailed what the Russians were doing after the election, before the inauguration. You never sought any information about this rather dramatic attack on our country?
No.
You never asked for a briefing or attended a briefing or read the intelligence reports?
You might have been very critical of me if I, as an active part of the campaign, was seeking intelligence relating to something that might be relevant to the campaign. I'm not sure that
I'm not talking about the campaign. I'm talking about what the Russians did. You received no briefing on the Russian active measures in connection with the 2016 election?
No. I don't believe I ever did.
Let's go to your letter of May 9th. You said, based upon my evaluation and for the reasons expressed by the deputy, was that a written evaluation?
My evaluation was an evaluation that had been going on for some months.
Is there a written evaluation?
I did not make one. I think you could classify Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein's memorandum as an evaluation. And he was the direct supervisor of the FBI director.
And his evaluation was based 100% on the handling of the Hillary Clinton emails. Is that correct?
Well, in a number of other matters, but as I recall, but he did explicitly lay out the errors that he thought had been made in that process by the director of the FBI. I thought they were cogent and accurate and far more significant than I think a lot of people have understood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lankford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attorney General Sessions, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Speak as a man eager to set the record straight. You have spoken very plainly from the very beginning, from your opening statement all the way through this time. I am amazed at the conversations. As if an attorney general has never said there were private conversations with the president, and we don't need to discuss those. It seems to be a short memory about some of the statements Eric Holder would and would not make to any committee in the House or the Senate, and would or would not turn over documents, even requested, that had to go all the way through the court system to finally the courts having to say, no, the president can't hold back documents and the attorney general can't do that. So somehow some accusation that you're not saying every conversation about everything. There's a long history of attorney generals standing beside the president saying there are some conversations that are confidential. And then it can be determined from there. It does seem as well that every unnamed source story somehow gets a hearing. I was in the hearing this morning with Rod Rosenstein as we dealt with the appropriations request that originally, obviously, you were scheduled to be at, that Rod Rosenstein was taking your place to be able to cover. He was very clear. He was peppered with questions about Russia during that conversation as well. He was very clear that he has never had conversations with you about that and that you have never requested conversations about that. He was also peppered with questions of the latest rumor of the day, that is somehow the president is thinking about firing Robert Mueller and getting rid of him, and was very clear that Rosenstein himself said, I am the only one that could do that, and I'm not contemplating that, nor would I do that, and no one has any idea where the latest unnamed source story of the day is coming from, but somehow it's grabbing all the attention. I do want to be able to bring up a couple of things to you specifically. One is to define the word recuse. And I come back to your email that you sent to Jim Comey and others that day on March the 2nd. This was what you had said during your in your email. After careful consideration following meetings with career department officials over the course of the past several weeks, the Attorney General has decided to recuse himself from any existing or future investigations of any matters related in any way to the campaigns for President of the United States. The Attorney General's recusal is not only with respect to such investigations, if any, but also extends to the Department responses to congressional and media inquiries related to such investigations. Is that something you have maintained from March 2nd on?
Absolutely. Actually, I maintained it from the first day I became Attorney General. We discussed those matters, and I felt until and if I ever made a decision to not recuse myself, I should not, as abundance of caution, involve myself in studying the investigation or evaluating it.
Right.
So I did not. I also would note that the memorandum from my chief of staff directs these agencies, and one of the people directly it was sent to was James B. Comey, the director of the FBI. You should instruct members of your staffs not to brief the Attorney General or any other officials in the office of the Attorney General about or otherwise involve the Attorney General or other officials in the office of the Attorney General in any such matters described above.
And you
we
haven't
took
requested
the proper and firm and crystal clear position that the recusal meant recusal.
Relating to this April 27th meeting, non-meeting, in the same room at the same time, the National Interest was asked specifically about this as well. He was the host of that event. They stated this in writing. As the host, the Center for National Interest decided whom to invite and then issued the invitations. The Trump campaign did not determine or approve the invitation list. Guests at the event included both Democrats and Republicans, with some among the latter supporting other candidates. Most of the guests were Washington-based foreign policy experts and journalists. Center for National Interest invited Russian Ambassador Kislyak and several other ambassadors to the speech. We regularly invite ambassadors and other foreign representatives to our events to facilitate dialogue. And then they stated, we seated all four in the front row during the speech in deference to their diplomatic status. The Trump campaign had nothing to do with the seating arrangement. The Center for National Interest extended equal treatment to the four ambassadors attending the event and invited each to a short reception prior to the Trump speech. The reception included approximately two dozen guests in a receiving line. The line moved quickly, and any conversations with Mr. Trump in that setting were inherently brief and could not be private. Our recollection is that the interaction between Mr. Trump and the Ambassador Kislyak was limited to polite exchange of pleasantries appropriate on such occasions. We're not aware of any conversation between Ambassador Kislyak and Senator Jeff Sessions at the reception. However, in a small group setting like this one, we consider it unlikely that anyone could have engaged in a meaningful private conversation without drawing attention from others present. Do you have any reason to disagree with that?
No, I think that's a very fair description of the reception situation. I appreciate them having made that statement.
Great. I yield back.
Senator Manchin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you, Mr. General, for being here. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, Senator Manchin.
Sir, I'm going to follow up a little bit on what Senator King had asked concerning. You and I are about the same vintage. We remember back in our lifetime, we've never known the Russians to be the Russian government or the Russian military to ever be our friend, and wanting the same things we wanted, we wanted out of life. With that being said, the seriousness of this Russian hacking is very serious to me and concerning. And you're saying that you had not been briefed on that. October 9th, the one that was known that the ODNI at that time, I think Mr. Clapper and also Mr. Jay Johnson, Homeland Security, made that public what was going on. Then on December 29th, President Obama at that time expelled 35 Russian diplomats, denied access to two Russian-owned compounds, and he broadened the existing sanctions. Sir, I would ask, do you have any discussions at all? Have you had any discussions or said on any type of meetings where recommendations were made to remove those sanctions?
I don't recall any such meeting.
And during the time, not from the president being inaugurated on January 20th, prior to that, in the campaign, up until through the transition, was there ever any meetings that he showed any concern or consideration or just inquisitive of what the Russians were really doing and if they really done it?
I don't recall any such conversation. I'm not sure I understood your question. Maybe I better listen.
Well, you were part of the national security team, so if he would have heard something about Russia and with their capabilities and our concern about what they could do to our election process, was there ever any conversations concerning that whatsoever?
I don't recall it, Senator Manchin.
I know it's been asked of you the things that, you know, your executive privileges in protecting the president. I understand that. But also when we had Mr. Comey here, you know, he couldn't answer a lot of things in an open session. He agreed to go into a closed session. Would you be able to go into a closed session? Would it change your answers to us or your ability to speak more frankly on some things we would want to know?
Senator French, Manchin, I'm not sure. The executive privilege is not waived by going in camera or in closed session. It may be that one of the concerns is that when you have a investigation ongoing, as the special counsel does, it's often very problematic to have persons, you know, not cooperating with that counsel in the conduct of the investigation, which may or may not be a factor in going into closed session.
It would be very helpful. I think the committee, there's a lot of questions they'd like to ask, and I know that you would like to answer if possible, and maybe we can check into that a little further. If I could, sir, did you have any meetings, any other meetings with Russian government officials that have not been previously disclosed?
I have racked my brain, and I do not believe so.
Are there any other?
I can assure you that none of those meetings discussed manipulating a campaign in the United States in any way, shape, or form, or any hacking, or any such ideas.
I'm going to go quick through this. Are there any other meetings between Russian government officials and any other Trump campaign associates that have not been previously disclosed that you know of?
I don't recall any.
To the best of your knowledge, did any of the following individuals meet with Russian officials at any point during the campaign? You can just go yes or no as I go down through the list. Paul Manafort?
Repeat that now.
To the best of your knowledge, sir, did any of these following individuals meet with Russian officials at any point during the campaign? And you can just be a yes or no on this. Paul Manafort?
I don't have any information that he had done so. He served as campaign chairman for a few months.
Steve Bannon?
I have no information that he did.
General Michael Flynn?
I don't recall it.
Reince Priebus?
I don't recall.
Steve Miller?
I don't recall him ever having such a conversation.
Corey Lewandowski?
I don't not recall any of those individuals having any meeting with Russian officials.
Carter Page?
I don't know.
And I would finally ask this question, because I always think we try to get... You have an innate knowledge
There may have been some published accounts of Mr. Page talking with Russians. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't recall.
As a former senator, you bring a unique holistic perspective to this investigation because you've been on both sides.
I have indeed.
If you were
all in all, it's better on that side.
If you were sitting on this side of the dais, okay, here
nobody gets to ask you about your private conversation with your staff.
Well, here we go. Get your chance to give us some advice. If you were sitting on this side of the dais, what question would you be asking?
I would be asking whether or not I would be asking questions related to whether or not there was an impact on this election.
And what part of the story do you think we're missing?
By foreign power. Particularly the Russians, since the intelligence community is suggested and stated that they believe they did. But I do think members of this government have offices to run.
Is there a part of the story we're
manage,
missing?
And they, you know, the question should be focused on that.
Yeah. Is there a part of the story we're missing? I'm so sorry, Mr. Chairman. Is there a part of the story we're missing?
I don't know because I'm not involved in the campaign and had no information concerning it. I have no idea at what stage it is. You members of this committee know a lot more than I.
Thank you, General Sessions.
General Sessions, I will assure you we are very much focused on Russia's involvement. And our hope is that as we complete this process, we will lay those facts out for the American people so they can make their own determinations as well. We're grateful for what you've done, Senator Cotton.
Well, I am on this side of the dais, so I can say a very simple question that should be asked. I am on this side of the dais, so a very simple question that should be asked is, did Donald Trump or any of his associates in the campaign collude with Russia in hacking those emails and releasing them to the public? That's where we started 6 months ago. We have now heard from 6 of the 8 Democrats on this committee, and to my knowledge, I don't think a single one of them asked that question. They've gone down lots of other rabbit trails, but not that question. Maybe that is because Jim Comey said last week, as he said to Donald Trump, that on 3 times he assured him he was not under investigation. Maybe it's because multiple Democrats on this committee have stated they have seen no evidence thus far after 6 months of our investigation and 11 months of an FBI investigation of any such collusion. I'll just suggest, what do we think happened at the Mayflower? Mr. Sessions, are you familiar with what spies called tradecraft?
A little bit.
That involves things like covert communications and dead drops and brush passes, right?
That is part of it.
Do you like spy fiction? John Le Carre, Daniel Silva, Jason Matthews?
Yeah, Alan First, David Jason Ignatius. Bond. Just finished Jason Ignatius's
Bourne
book.
Do you like Jason Bourne or James Bond movies?
No. Yes. I do.
Have you ever, in any of these fantastical situations, heard of a plot line so ridiculous that a sitting United States senator and an ambassador of a foreign government colluded at an open setting with hundreds of other people to pull off the greatest caper in the history of espionage?
Thank you for saying that, Senator Cotton. It's just like through the looking glass. I mean, what is this? I explained how, in good faith, I said I had not met with Russians because they were suggesting I, as a surrogate, had been meeting continuously with Russians. I said I didn't meet with them. And now, the next thing you know, I'm accused of some reception, plotting some sort of influence campaign for the American election. It's just beyond my capability to understand, and I really appreciate, Mr. Chairman, the opportunity at least to be able to say publicly, I didn't participate in that and know nothing about it.
And I gather that's one reason why you want to testify today in public. Last week, Mr. Comey, in characteristic, dramatic, and theatrical fashion, alluded ominously to what you called innuendo, that there was some kind of classified intelligence that suggested you might have colluded with Russia or that you might have otherwise acted improperly. You've addressed those allegations here today. Do you understand why he made that allusion?
Actually, I do not. Nobody's provided me any information.
Thank you. My time is limited. I have a lot of questions. Mr. Blunt asked you if you had spoken in response to Mr. Comey's statement to you after his private meeting with the president on February 14th or February 15th. You said that you did respond to Mr. Comey. Mr. Comey's testimony said that you did not. Do you know why Mr. Comey would have said that you did not respond to him on that conversation with you on February 14th or 15th?
I do not. It was a little conversation, not very long, but there was a conversation, and I did respond to him, perhaps not to everything he asked, but I did respond to him, I think in an appropriate way.
Do you know why Mr. Comey mistrusted President Trump from their first meeting on January 6th? He stated last week that he did, but he didn't state anything from that meeting that caused him to have such mistrust, to believe.
I'm not able to speculate on that.
Let's turn to the potential crimes that we know have happened. Leaks of certain information. Here's a short list of what I have. The contents of alleged transcripts of alleged conversations between Mr. Flynn and Mr. Kislyak. The contents of President Trump's phone calls with Australian and Mexican leaders, the content of Mr. Trump's meetings with the Russian foreign minister and the ambassador, the leak of the Manchester bombing suspect's identity and crime scene photos, and last week, within 20 minutes of this committee meeting in a classified setting with Jim Comey, the leak of what the basis of Mr. Comey's innuendo was. Are these leaks serious threats to our national security, and is the Department of Justice taking them with the appropriate degree of seriousness in investigating and ultimately going to prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law?
Thank you, Senator Cotton. We have had one successful case very recently in Georgia. That person has been denied bail, I believe, and is being held in custody. But some of these leaks, as you well know, are extraordinarily damaging to the United States security. And we have got to restore a regular order principle. We cannot have persons in our intelligence agencies, our investigative agencies, or in Congress leaking sensitive matters on staff. So this is, I'm afraid, will result in, is already resulting in investigations. And I'm fear that some people may find that they wish they hadn't leaked.
10 minutes.
Thank you. My time has expired, but for the record, it was stated earlier that the Republican platform was weakened on the point of arms for Ukraine. That is incorrect. The platform was actually strengthened. And I would note that it was the Democratic president who refused repeated bipartisan requests of this Congress to supply those arms to Ukraine.